I want you to reach across the aisle toward and hold hands with the people next to you. If you don't know them, ask them their name because you're going to be praying for them. I want you to pray for the person on your left, pray for the person on your right, and pray for yourself. Okay? And I want you to ask the Lord just to minister to their specific need, both physical and spiritual needs this morning, and emotional needs. Would you do that? Let's pray. Lord, you are a good, good Father. Lord, you just continue to pour out your blessings upon us day after day after day after day. Lord, sometimes it can get dark. And so I'm just asking you right now today, Lord. There are people in here who have some needs. They need you to intervene in these situations. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to bring some light into this situation. And Lord, that you would speak directly to their heart. Lord, that you would bring comfort. We sang about peace a while ago, unexplainable. Lord, that's what we need. And so we're asking you today, to, Lord, just come upon us. So that we know that we know that we know, regardless of what we're going through, you're there with us. And Lord, that you show us a way. If not out of it, at least through it. And Lord, we can trust you, even in the mess. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we're preaching through, and I left it off last week. We didn't get to Hebrews last week, but we're getting back to Hebrews today. And we're Hebrews chapter 9. If you go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the NLT. You may have a different version. I'm not putting the scripture up on the board because I want you to get familiar with where your Bible is and the books of the Bible. And maybe even where your Bible is. Some of you have your Bible on your phone or your tablet, and that's great too. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 9. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And this is a fairly long section, so there's just a lot here that I want to, that the Lord wants to share with us. That first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place for worship here on earth. Go ahead and, do you have that slide of the picture of the, okay. So go ahead and put that up there as we read it. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. First room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was a second room called the most holy place. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold and gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover. The place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year, And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We see up here a layout of the first tabernacle. Now, the first tabernacle was built by Moses. God had instructed Moses to build this tabernacle. It was actually an elaborate tent. It's bigger than any camping tent you can imagine. It was huge, and inside this tent were all of these furnishings that was mentioned here, plus a bronze altar and a laver, and practically everything in this tent or this tabernacle was anointed with blood. The blood of calves, the blood of goats, the blood of animals. Practically everything in this was anointed with blood. Now, why do you think this tabernacle was built? Hebrews chapter 14, verse 1, we read that it was built for the purpose of worship. But there was even more to it than that. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 42, in Exodus chapter 29, God has kind of laid out what he wants this tabernacle to be like. He's told them how to furnish it with all of these things, and they've put blood on it. And he said here in chapter 29 and verse 42, he says this in regards to why he wanted them to build the tabernacle. And go ahead, Josiah says, these burnt offerings are to be made each day from generation to generation. So every day they had these sacrifices. I want you to offer them in the Lord's presence at the tabernacle entrance. There I will meet with you and speak with you. I will meet the people of Israel there in the place made holy by my glorious presence. Yes, I will consecrate the tabernacle and the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will live among the people of Israel and be their God, and they will know that I am the Lord their God. I am the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt so that I could live among them. I am the Lord their God. Why did God want this tabernacle in the wilderness? So that he could live among his people. So that he could live among his people. This may start sounding like a Christmas message. You know, Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. It's almost hard for me to fathom that the God of the universe wants to live with us. But do you know that's why he created you? It's so that he could have a relationship with you. He's not this God way out there in space that's it's hard to reach. He said, I want to be near you. I want to dwell with you. I want to live in your area. I want to have it where you and I can just spend some time together. He said, the reason I want this tabernacle is so that I can be with you. Now, the reason he had to have the blood is because the blood brings life. Blood brings life. If you don't have blood, you don't have life. And so when Jesus, when the Father brought this sacrifice of blood into the tabernacle, he's saying, listen, I want to be with my people, and the only way I can be with my people is because is by the blood that is shed because there's sin that all of us carry. And so by the blood that the sacrifice of the sacrifices that were put upon all of these altars, it also covered the people. And through the blood, we have relationship with Jesus Christ. We have relationship with the Father. It's only through the blood. From the beginning of time, God used the blood so that we can come into contact with Him. God wants to be your closest neighbor. He wants to be your best friend. When Jesus came, His blood was shed so that we can have a relationship with the Father. It's no longer calves and bulls and goats, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And Scripture teaches us that if we will apply that blood to ourselves, that we will have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's the blood that purifies. I have some friends who've been on dialysis for a while. And so dialysis is this treatment whereby it's a medical treatment. If your kidneys don't work well, see, the kidneys are given to you to filter your blood. And if your kidneys don't work well, they put you on this machine, and this machine actually brings the blood out of you, goes through dialysis machine, it cleanses the blood, purifies the blood, and puts the blood back into your body. Takes all the toxins out, takes all the poison out, and then the blood re-enters your body so that you can go a while longer until they have to do it again. Well, see, when you apply Jesus' blood, it takes the toxins out. It takes the sin out. So that you have an opportunity through that process of getting to know God better than you've ever known Him before. There's this process whereby whenever you receive Christ and His blood washes you from your sin, you have the opportunity to be in close fellowship with God. Without the shedding of blood, there is, you remember the verse? There's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, it's impossible for us to have our sins removed. If our sins aren't removed, we can't have a relationship with God. Because God is faithful, He's just. And no amount of work that you can do will ever make you justified in His sight. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know, I don't think any, are any of you in here moved here from a different country? You did, Stefan? Where did you move from? Sweden. Utah. Came with your dad. Have there been others that have come since you've been here from your family? One of the things about family is that you kind of want to be close to them, right? And so Stefan came with his dad because dad wants Stefan to be with him. And how many of you have grandchildren? Do you like to be near your grandchildren?
Yes.
Most of you do. Because you kind of want to be with family. You want to be with those who you can interact with and who you just love them. Why do you think God wants to be with you? Because you're family. Because you're family. He went to a lot of trouble to make sure he could be with you. He went to some extreme choices so that he could be with you. All over the written words in this Bible, God says, I want to be with you. 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 Do you want to be with me? We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that God created a new temple to dwell in. He said, Rick, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He created a new tabernacle. Jake, God said, you are now my temple. You are now my tabernacle. I don't want to just dwell with you. I want to dwell in you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe wants to dwell within you? Within each of you. That is amazing to me. And when as I was preparing this message for the last couple of weeks, it's just been kind of reverberating in my head. God, our Father, wants to live with me. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? That changes everything. We also find in Hebrews chapter 9, and this was interesting as I study and read this. Did you catch the fact that this earthly temple was just a representation of what's in heaven? And also, did you catch the fact that the Jesus' blood anointed the articles in heaven, the furnishings of the tabernacle in heaven? It wasn't so that the tabernacle could be cleansed. Everything in heaven is clean. But it's so that we can spend eternity with Him. Did you know that God prepared all of this so that we could have not that He could no longer dwell with us, He wants us to dwell with Him. So when we pass this life, He's saying, listen, I still want you to be with me. See, from the very beginning in the garden. So God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are having a conversation one day. And they said, let us make man in our image. Why did He want that? You think he was lonely? I don't think he was lonely. I think he had so much love that he just needed to give it away. He said, I want to create some people that I can give my love away to. Let's make man in our image so that we can express our love to them, so that we can show them our love. And so he's been creating people from Adam and Eve to this present day. And the whole reason he wants to do that, or that he has created each of us, and that he's created people who don't even go to church, is so that he can express his love to them. One of the reasons we're going to have our back to school bash next Saturday at the park from 2 to 4 is so that we can, in some means, help God show his love and express his love to people who may not know that or may never have experienced it. But we get to do that as the people of God. God loves us. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin separated them. He said to Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle so I can dwell with you again. And they built a tabernacle. Then he said, listen, I'm going to send Jesus so that I can dwell with everyone, not just the people of Israel. I want to dwell with everyone. So he did that. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And he said, when you die now that you've received Christ as your Savior, when you die, I'm going to make a place for you so that you can be with me where I am. You know, we look forward to going to heaven. We look forward to the time when we're going to spend eternity with the Father. But he's looking forward to the time when we're with him there. He's really looking forward to that. Isn't that crazy? And he said when he's going to prepare a banquet, a wedding banquet, when we get there. So when you have family and friends over, how many of you just kind of like to cook and get it all ready? And not me so much, but I encourage my wife, and I can help out a little bit. But when you have family over, when you have friends over, you just want them to have a good time. And so when we get to heaven, God's just said, man, I want you to have a good time. And I don't remember where it is in Scripture, but there's one who's going to be serving us at that banquet. And his name is Jesus. We won't even have to serve ourselves. Jesus is going to come around. He's going, you want any more apple pie? The ultimate party. Romans 8:35 says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing will ever separate you from His love. Nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing will separate you from God's love. Nothing will ever separate you from God's love. Nothing. That's a promise from God Almighty. So, some of you may be here today, and you may never have experienced the love of God the way that He wants to convey to you. And as I've been preaching, you're wondering, you're thinking, man, I wish I could have that in my own life. So there's a passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 3. And this passage says, I know everything you do. I know everything you do. And I know that you're not cold. But I know that you're not hot. I wish you were one or the other. Since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. And look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. If you are in Israel, and a Jewish, a person from Jew or the land of Israel invited you into their home for a meal, that would indicate that they want to become friends with you. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and knock. If you invite me in, if you invite me in, I will come in, we'll have a meal together. And I will give you your heart's desire. Today, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you've never opened the door to Jesus Christ, I want you to do that today. You're feeling something in your heart, tugging at your heart. And you know things aren't right with the Father. And He's saying, I want to dwell with you. I want to dwell in you. Will you let me in? Will you let me in? Will you let me in? There may be some areas in your life that you need to repent of. You may need to ask forgiveness for. That's the case. God said, if you will just ask me, I will forgive you. And if you trust me, if you put your trust in my Son and the sacrifice that was made for you, then I will be your God. And you'll be my child. Today, if you've never made that decision for Christ, God says to you, I want to dwell with you. I want to dwell with you. I want to dwell with you. Will you open the door? In a few moments, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask you to prepare your heart. one way of doing that is if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then you need to do that today. Let's bow our heads, please. Today I'm going to ask you to be honest with the Lord, honest with yourself, and honest with me. If you're unsure of whether or not you're going to go to heaven when you die, and you would like to be sure, would you just lift your hand up? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, there are those here today who are struggling with their relationship with you. Lord, I remember growing up, I prayed the prayer probably 1,000 times. But I never felt connected. Until I gave myself to you. Lord, there are those this morning who raise their hands and they want to acknowledge the fact that they don't feel connected to you. Lord, I believe in my heart that you want to connect with them. I know that. And so, Lord, there's something that's standing in the way from them being able to connect with you. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would reveal to them what that is. Lord, perhaps there's been sin in their life that they either have been able to turn from, been unwilling to turn from. Or perhaps there's things in their past that they've been unable to release. And so, Lord, I'm just asking you today to meet them right where they are. There may be others here this morning who didn't raise their hand, but you said, I know everything you did. And I want a relationship with you. And so today, we bring these individuals to you. I pray that you'd meet them right where they are. So I'm going to ask the church if you would pray with me, and particularly those who raised their hand. We're going to ask the Lord to minister to the hearts of these individuals. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe your word. And I know that Jesus died for me. There have been things in my life that I'm ashamed of. And I carry guilt over. Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you. I turn away from my sin. And I turn to Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I open my heart to you. I know you're knocking at my heart's door. And I receive you. Take away my sin. I put my trust in you. Not in my own efforts. Not in my own works. I put my trust in you. Dear Lord Jesus, you said that you would clear the conscience through your shed blood. Cleanse me, I pray, in Jesus' name. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and get. Invitation.